Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
The excitement's in the air, guys. Playoff action is here. Super Wild Card Weekend. It all starts this weekend. 3 days of action, starting with the Saturday doubleheader, a Sunday tripleheader, oh boy, and for the first time ever, a Wild Card Monday night. 3 days, 6 games, one epic weekend. The road to Super Bowl 56 starts here. Super Wild Card Weekend. Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live from New York City. Shriggs is giving me his
let's go.
It's my Brady.
Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, Maurice Jones-Drew. Oh, Kyle, yeah. does that look like denim to you?
No, that is not denim.
We live in Manhattan, and this man could not find a denim jacket. At GMFB with your thoughts. Let's break it down and bring in the rap sheet. Ian Rappaport joining us with some news, and we had some big news yesterday in New York. The Giants let go of head coach Joe Judge. What led to the decision?
After 2 days of extensive meetings with both owners, John Mara and Steve Tisch, the Giants decided to fire Joe Judge after just 2 seasons. There was so much optimism for this coach and the hope that it would work finally for the Giants after a couple cycles where they fired a coach after just 2 seasons, still trying to get back on track. But for Judge, it seems this really came down to, as the owner said in a statement, looking at the product on the field in the last game of the season and just not believing that they're heading in the right direction. And to be sure, for Joe Judge, there were several viral moments for this team that did seem to lead to the fan base turning on him and eventually lead to his ouster. There was the sneak on 3rd and 9. There was the press conference with a couple weeks to go. All of this contributed to the noise from the fan base and then eventually the decisions from the owners. And of course, it was a clean house for the Giants. Dave Gettleman out. So what they are going to do is hire the general manager first and then the head coach, Joe Shane, a respected executive for the Buffalo Bills, interviews today. And for Judge, obviously a frustrating and disappointing situation. This team played unbelievably hard for him. Just the product on the field was simply not good enough. And I'm sure there were some reasons why he was saddled with a bad general manager in Dave Gettleman, an offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett that he was certainly uncertain about. Third string quarterback by the end of the season. In the end, the idea was that the results were simply not good enough for the Giants, and they move on.
So they want to go GM first, then coach. Oh, then they'll move on to what to do with Daniel Jones, who's got 1 year left, and then Saquon, and it goes on from there. Thank you so much, Ian. Talk to you throughout the morning. What'd you make of this? I was a little surprised it didn't happen Monday.
Yeah, and Kay, I think that's a good point, because I could tell you, talking to folks who were contacted for the GM position interviews, a lot of them reached back out to me and said, well, what do you know about Joe Judge? I don't know Joe Judge. What am I walking into here? And already it felt like a very awkward situation that there were GMs that were going to be interviewed. Joe Judge was not going to be in the interviews, and yet they had to give an assessment on Joe Judge, the person, the coach, and what he was all about. So I think the tenor in the media actually did play a role, but also the response from a lot of these GM candidates, maybe even not to the Giants, but around, being like, well, what's that situation? What am I walking into? I think the Giants brass eventually just said, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and do a clean start. But it was a day removed. I think if the media didn't play a role, and if they could, they would love to have had the dust settle a little bit and then assess Joe Judge. But the time is of the essence. There's a lot of teams now looking for a GM. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever GM comes in, they're either A, going to want their own head coach, or they're going to have a fresh look at it. You don't want to inherit a GM that you don't know and say, I'm getting in bed with this after a career of building up towards this point. So let's turn the page. What now? They're going to be interviewing Joe Shane over Zoom. Who is Joe Shane?
Go on.
Joe Shane is the number two. He's the assistant general manager in Buffalo. He came along with Brandon Bean in 2017. When Brandon Bean left Carolina, Joe Shane was poached from Miami. Joined him on this quest over Buffalo. His first draft pick with Brandon Bean was Josh Allen in a draft where the Giants selected Saquon Barkley 2nd overall. Since then, of course, the Bills have built up one of the best rosters in all of football and also have had 10 wins in 3 straight seasons. So you look at Shane, you're like, all right, well, what does that mean for my coach? Well, the natural connection is their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, would be a potential head coaching candidate. And if you look at what the Giants are trying to build, offense, I think, has to be a priority. But Daboll also, like Judge, has spent time with Nick Saban, has spent time with Bill Belichick, but unlike Judge and unlike a lot of these Belichick disciples, Dable knew, I'm not going to be the best coach possible unless I break off that tree. And he went on his own to Buffalo, where now he is learning from not only Sean McDermott, but Leslie Frazier, and has helped make Josh Allen. Josh Allen deserves a lot of the credit himself, but if you've seen Josh Allen's career take these leaps year after year after year, the offensive coordinator is the person in his ear. So if I'm a Giants fan, first crack at it. Yes, they're interviewing 8 different GM candidates, and of course they're going to have all sorts of different head coaching interviews. First crack at it might be that Buffalo brass. And I think with Daniel Jones being the question at quarterback, you might want to have that brass who has worked with Josh Allen maybe take their first looks at him as well.
So the 5th and 7th overall pick too, this is a huge deal. I mean, I'm looking at that GM spot. That's wild. That's big. I mean, this might be the most important draft, not to be hyperbolic, that the Giants have really ever had. They have so much at the top.
Really quickly, one more piece on it. This is a team that has had over 1,000 players play for them in the last several years. Like, the injuries are through the roof. There's a whole thing. Organizationally, Giants have had 3 different head coaches, 4 different offensive coordinators. They've had all these different changes for this quarterback, Daniel Jones. To your point on the draft, not a great quarterback draft.
Yep.
So whoever comes in has to give a fresh eye and just can't say, well, we got to get rid of the quarterback. Daniel Jones might live to fight another day, another season, and then we'll see from there.
Or a ton of quarterbacks will go in the first round anyway.
Yeah.
Bold from the trenches, Peter. From the trenches. I want to give a view from the cheap seats, the crappy seats, okay? And just a little bit of a postmortem too on Joe Judge. There's still this impression that the Giants are like chasing Parcells. Not even Coughlin, but Parcells. And I think what we just saw play out in front of us is when tough guy thing, the touch the line, that rep didn't count, insufferable tough guy thing collapses, it collapses so fast. Bill Belichick with the Patriots won a Super Bowl in his second year. Tom Coughlin was in the playoffs the second year and in the Super Bowl a few years later. And I would just encourage Giants fans or all decision makers, look around the playoffs right now. Who's the coaches in the playoffs? Find the insufferable, ball-busting tough guy. Cliff, Shanahan, McVay, Sirianni, Taylor, Vrabel in his own way is very loved. The Raiders made the playoffs when they got rid of their tough guy. And it's not a youth thing. It's a maybe we need to re-examine the philosophically what type of coach the players are responding to thing. And as far as Joe Judge, there's that line in Rounders where if you can't spot the sucker in the first 30 minutes at the table, you are the sucker. And if you have a 10-minute press conference to explain why we are not a clown show, that's a clown show in and of itself. There was no dignity in that. And never mind the football for a second. He embarrassed the Giants organization, especially when you do the clown show press conference and then you take the field and you give them exhibit A of denied clown show. I think if they punt there, Joe Judge might have a job today because it broadened out the conversation. It embarrassed the Giants. You have other players talking about this play. Aaron Rodgers is teeing off on this play gratuitously on a show yesterday that he has nothing to do with it. I think the Giants were embarrassed. And I think Joe Judge came in and thought he was Belichick, like many, many other people have done. And he has further defiled the Belichick coaching tree so far to the fact that if you're considering a Belichick assistant now, even McDaniels, the prince who was promised, you have to be like, let's just stop and take a breath for a second because this thing has been sullied. And Joe Judge took an axe to it.
I think to just kind of put it out there, this is black and white. It's very simple. You won 10 games in 2 years. Forget the culture. Forget trying to get players to play hard. You won 10 games in 2 years. This is a production-based league. If you're a football player and you don't produce, guess what? They find someone else. It's very simple. If you're a coach and you don't win, guess what? They're going to find someone else. It is that simple. And so a lot of times you see these guys that come from Bill Belichick and they're trying to do it the Belichick way or the Patriot way, whatever it may be. And like you said, all this screaming and yelling, that has nothing to do with it. Let's get the best OC. Let's get the best DC. Let's get the best players. Let's put a product on the field that wins, period. I'm tired of hearing like, oh, he's a culture guy, he's this. Mm-hmm. That's good for college, that's good for high school, that's good for youth football. That's awesome. Mm. In the pros, you pay me a lot of money to put a service to go out there and play. For some reason, these dudes aren't playing and they don't pan out. And it's just like, this isn't high school. Like, this is crazy. Did you expect to have a job after this?
Mm-hmm. And the way he approached the media probably
I could care less about all that.
Okay.
Really?
This was a football decision. This had nothing to do with how he was. If he was winning and he did that, everyone would be like, oh, it's okay. Right? Because winning secures everything. But when you're last and all those things offensively, especially in a league that's built for offense, you're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. No one's going to make it. So for all the coaches that are out there that are looking to have another job and they forget the culture thing, win early. Find a way to win now if you want to keep your job, because right now these owners are like, hey, I don't want to be the top pick. I don't want to be top 10 pick every year. We want to win now.
Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the stuff that you don't care about, especially in New York. Are you kidding me? I came here in 2016, sat at this table, and New York is a unique place to play. To your point, you have to deal with the media aspect of it. You have to earn trust all around, and culture absolutely matters. The New York, especially right now, what is this team? Denver, you're going to that job, Kyle. What are you inheriting? A great defense, mm-hmm. young players. You know you need a quarterback. Go down to Jacksonville. Whoever goes there, Trevor Lawrence, that's my quarterback. I know what I need to. What do you do with this mess that falls into your lap? What is the level of ingenuity and enthusiasm and just other, I don't even know, collaborative thinking or whatever that it's going to take to craft an identity out of nothing? Obviously, there's history and legacy, but it's a mess. It's a mess. There's no identity to the team. So culture, all of that's going to be important because they literally have to glue it together with a hot glue gun.
One of the worst salary cap situations in the entire league, despite having that record, and also a running back who I think was available for 4 games under Joe Judge's career, and a quarterback who after 3 years, the jury is still out on whether he can play or not. Mm-hmm. And it's because of availability and also because that offensive line is an absolute travesty at times. This is such an interesting team because, Kay, when they're winning, it is so good for the coach.
Yeah.
Coughlin is beloved. Parcells is beloved.
It's been a long time.
But it is.
But those are hard-nosed,
time.
Strict coaches, which go
right
against
away.
Your opponent. So that's
got to win right away.
You can be strict like that, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. The problem is, I look at the Giants team, I don't see them winning right away. There's work to be done. This is not a come on in here and start winning. Coughlin, a second year in the playoffs. Belichick and the Patriots, second year in the season.
You think 15-minute phone breaks would work here in New York?
They're working other places. Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah, I don't think you put your nose up to
it. For the first time since a Giants job is available, I'm not sure this is like the most desirable job. And I know you're saying, obviously it's not. There's Jacksonville.
You have to sell the job to the
candidate.
It
used to be like, oh my God, like that logo, like, I'm not sure all these GMs and coaches are lining up the door. And I think that's going to be a really interesting dynamic, too. And they're finally looking outside the building to hire the next person to run it.
Or you see it as, this is a mess, and I can fix it. I can make it what I want it to be. I can create what this team is going forward. Time for a little Whiteboard Wednesday. You can play along at home when asked about Tom Brady's MVP chances this season. Bruce Arians said it would be a, quote, travesty if the Bucs quarterback didn't achieve the honor. So all we won't find out about the MVP this weekend, we'll find out about NFL honors on Thursday, right before Super Bowl Sunday. I'd like to know the team that would be the biggest travesty if they lost in the wild card round. A little bit of a stretch, but let's do it.
Travesty. last segment, I talked about how the Bills have won 10 straight games in 3 straight seasons, and what an accomplishment that is. You lose a wild card round to these guys at home. It's a travesty. It's a travesty. This is going to be the first time the Bills have a home playoff game with full capacity since the early 90s. Don't lose to the Patriots. Don't. All the stuff from the season, all the win in Foxborough means nothing. Nothing if you lose this one. Bills, I speak for all the Bills fans. I speak for everyone in the Bills building. Like, can't lose to the Patriots. Third time playing, rubber match. Go and get that victory. You're the favorite. Go take care of business.
You know what's crazy, too? You know they've never played a playoff since the merger.
I know.
It just hasn't happened.
I know.
And this is the one. You can't lose that game. You just can't.
For me, I'm going back home. It has to be the Rams. The Los Angeles Rams. Listen, you went all in this offseason. You've been all in for the last couple of years trying to get back to the Super Bowl. You go and you sign OBJ. You bring in Matthew Stafford. You trade all those picks. You bring in Von Miller. It's all for this time of the year. When you talked about all those moves, I remember watching Les Snead and Sean McVay speak about it. It was like, hey, this is not for now. This is for January. You can't go out there and stumble against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Not at home. Not when you have a chance to play the Super Bowl in your building. You have to find a way to go out there and win right now. Jalen Ramsey, you traded for him. All these moves that you've done is for right now. You know what? They don't have a first-round pick for the next, like, 3 or 4 years?
Until 2025.
Okay.
Sean McVay is never going to make a first.
And that's fine. We don't want to. And I say we because I'm like the president of the Ramley. But we don't want to. But we cannot lose here because it would be a travesty.
And so would mine. There's a travesty. And if you look around, apparently an inevitability, that somehow, some way, this team finds a way to lose this weekend. I'm just going to put it up. The Titans, not even playing this weekend, still somehow lose. And by the way, we don't even have videotape of them because their games didn't happen. They weren't recorded. They don't matter. Peter has thrown down the gauntlet earlier this week that he is asking anyone in the media anywhere who's not in Tennessee and who's not a former Titan to pick the Titans to win the Super Bowl. Anybody. They're a one seed with a bye. And have you found anyone?
Not one person. They said Shannon Sharpe mentioned them as a contender. I go, that does not count. Has Shannon Sharpe said they are going to win the Super Bowl?
Yes. I think they might, I honestly think they might lose this weekend. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe they fold as a franchise. Maybe they decide, you know what, we're just going to quit now. We're going to forfeit and just whoever was supposed to play us can just advance to the next round because apparently we got nothing. So I think the Titans might lose this weekend. And I think that'd be a trap.
Least respected one seed I've ever
of all
ever
time, maybe in any sport. And I think they lose this weekend.
MJB, do you want to pick the Titans to win the Super Bowl?
No, I'm cool. Yeah, that's a rival of mine. We would never do that.
Okay.
We would never do that.
I'm glad this is objective television on a Wednesday morning. Woo! Before the Jets-Bills game, guys, there was an issue going on, a few issues, really, with the coin flip and getting it right.
Gentlemen, welcome. We have a coin. Heads and tails. Heads, tails, you New York Jets. You're the visiting team. What is your call?
Tails.
Tails is the call. Tails is the call.
There it is.
On the top.
You're going to flip it.
Tails, still the call. We'll redo the toss.
There we go. You're the first.
All right, you won the ball.
We won the ball.
New York Jets have won the toss.
We won the ball.
Now we're
going to
kick it over.
I would have asked, can I flip it? It seems like you have a problem. I'll just get it for you. Don't worry about it.
It was very cold out there. Maybe it was the elements. All right. The 2021 moment that you guys would like a redo of would be what?
We all sat through it. It should never be mentioned again. Dolphins, Saints, Monday Night Football. It's going to be going down as the Ian Book. Everyone in the world in New Orleans is out because of COVID. And it was just a travesty of a football game because of how many people the Saints had down. They play the game. And you look at the playoff picture now. If the Saints had won this game, they're probably going to the playoffs. Now, I'm not making excuses. Every team had to do it. This one was on national TV. Poor Ian Book, and I say that with sympathy because I think he was thrown into the fire with missing everybody on offense as well. It just was not the NFL's best product this year.
This was your travesty.
This was my. If there was 272 games and Chargers Raiders was number one on the list of one, this was 272 from a product
performance.
So I'm gonna say I don't need to see this one. It's like the coin flip. Let's get a redo on that.
Redo.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with timeout gate. I think timeout gate is from the Chargers Raiders. That you have to have a redo, right? Like, you have a chance to make it to the playoffs. You played hard. We all joked about just taking knees and you could get in. You actually have a chance here. Man, then you call timeout. And I respect the decision. I respect the answer to do it. But the result, we just talked about results, right? Like wins and losses. The result is all that matters. And the result ends up in you losing, not going to the playoffs. And then the Raiders obviously going, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and hit the button and try to restart that
It's not going
to
age well because Staley's explanation makes sense. But if you were watching the game, it didn't make sense. So years from now, I don't know if it'll age well, but right now I would like a redo too. This is my answer for a different reason. Pat Spills, three passes. This game was very memorable, and it was in Buffalo, and the Patriots win. And I don't want to do a redo because the Patriots won. They deserve, and they were the better team that night. What I would really love the redo is I wish the Patriots had thrown zero passes. Because then it's really historic. Then it's the Belichick zero pass game.
Cheers to you.
You know what? And you didn't need to throw any passes. They would have won this game with zero. That is truly then an unbelievable gem on his resume that when he finally retires, remember that time in Buffalo you guys won without throwing a single pass? The three passes, totally unnecessary. They win without it. I wish it had been a zero pass game because then it becomes the Holy Roller. Right. It has become a nickname game, the no pass game. Now it's, Mac Jones threw three passes. It's just sloppy and I wish they couldn't. Maybe this weekend.
I forgot about it until you just reminded me of it.
No.
At Jim and Pete with your thoughts on Whiteboard Wednesday. We've got a lot of possible coaching hires. Peter's going to break down who you need to know next.
The Rogers Whisperer.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. Thank you for choosing us. We're talking Super Wild Card Weekend. 3 days, tons of games. The first time Wild Card Weekend extends to Monday, a Monday nighter that MJD has some mixed feelings about, the member of the Ramily that he is.
It's just, it just takes too long to get there. We want to play now.
Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt at GMFB. It's time for the lead block. 3 days, six games, one epic weekend. But let's check in, guys, on the massive AFC East matchup Saturday night. Giardi, what do you got on Pat's Bills?
For the third time in 40 days, the Patriots and Bills will meet on Saturday. Sean McDermott saying hard enough to prepare for the Patriots when you have some time between games, and now you have everything condensed and it's a short week, just makes it that much more difficult. For the Patriots, they highlight Josh Allen, what he did to them the day after Christmas. He controlled that game, making plays with his arm, making plays with his feet. Just a deadly combination, but also using his brain, taking what the Patriots gave him. Patriots clearly need to put more pressure on Allen. He had all kinds of time in that second game, and he dominated. They can't let that happen again, or they'll be looking at the same result.
Great report from Giardi there. So that was the second match between the Pats and Bills. Let's go back to the first meeting this season. People want to say it's fluky. There's weather involved. That was week 13, not too long ago. That was the Monday nighter. The wind and cold were playing a huge role. Jones threw how many passes, Kyle?
Three.
He made it messy. It should have been zero.
Yeah.
What happened? New England ran all over Buffalo, ran them over in their building. The elements, of course, were a factor. Allen spoke about the weather yesterday.
It's not fun getting hit in the cold. It's not fun catching hard passes in the cold. And getting off the ground is just, it's a little more exhausting throughout the course of a game.
So are you a toe warmer guy? Are you a three-layer socks guy? Or what is the play?
I'm not. I'm a one-layer sock guy, but we have the heated benches and they got the little foot warmers there. But sometimes when it's super cold, it doesn't feel like much. They beat us at home and that's where we're playing this game. So we got to be ready for whatever they can throw at us. And again, it's going to be a 12-round slugfest. And in my opinion, it's going to take all four quarters to win a game.
That's a bite right there. 12-round slugfest on Saturday night. I'm sure these, you know, older OG Buffalo Bills players are like, heated benches. What are these heated benches? Raw?
Nice.
How much does the Bills loss to the Patriots in week 13, again, not very long ago, how much does that matter or should it matter with this game?
It doesn't matter at all because you're not going to have that 50-mile-an-hour wind and all that going on. This is going to be cold. And we know that Josh Allen can throw the ball all through the all over the yard and do all those things. But I want to talk about Stephon Diggs because the second time they played, he took over the game, right? He was the one that kind of helped them get to that big lead, and then now the Patriots have to play catch-up. If you're the New England Patriots, you don't want to play catch-up with the Buffalo Bills. Look, Stephon Diggs is first of all, he's one of my young pups of the year, young pups of the week a long time ago when he first got drafted to Minnesota, and all he's done is continue to get better and better throughout this year. He didn't have the same stats as he did last year, but he's seeing double, triple coverage. As long as it's not 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds, Buffalo Bills will be tough to stop there up there in Buffalo.
The first time they played, psychologically, obviously, there was effects. You don't think any of that matters because they won the second time?
Yeah, that's out. That's out the window. Because as players, we try to make excuses in our brain. Like, well, we lost because we couldn't, run our offense. We couldn't be who we wanted to be. The second time, there wasn't no wind. It was completely fine. You win the Foxborough, and you won handily. You got after him. So now you're going to get a chance to get him back at home.
Allen says he wants a 12-round slugfest with the Patriots. I wouldn't want that if I'm the Bills. I would put them away early and knockout. Do everything you can in a knockout so that it doesn't get weird at the end because Belichick has been in these situations. That defense has guys who have been there and done that. And I look at what the Bills have done this season. They've lost some weird ones. We know they lost to the Jaguars. We know they lost to that game. When they win, they blow teams out. They've won every game this season by double digits.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's the Bills.
Wow.
We're gonna punish you. No. It's not tit for tat, round by round. No, I don't wanna hear 12-round slugfest. I wanna hear first round knockout.
Uh-huh. Stop the fight.
Stop the fight.
Yeah.
Throw the towel. Mickey, where are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is what the Bills need to do here. And if it's getting towards 11 o'clock at night and it's 13-13 yeah. and Belichick has got the punt unit on and
aye, aye, aye.
I don't like that. That's not been suitable for the Bills this season. What's been suitable is Josh Allen using his legs and getting first downs, and then Stephon Diggs talking trash to the sidelines and telling this New England crowd on that play, da-da-da-da-da-da. I know the last New England game was close, and the score might have been because they had to make some key conversions, but on the season, when Buffalo's rolling, they blow the heck out of teams, and that's what they should be looking to do early and often, and do not have this one come till midnight, because if that's the case, it didn't go according to plan. If I'm Buffalo, take this team, the Patriots, that are inferior to you and have been for the last 2 years, and blow them out of your building, and finally silence the whispers that Belichick has mind games and mind control over that place.
I'm sure it's harder said than done, harder done than said, rather, but we'll see what they do. I will say, I asked you about the turning point, because I think it was around then that something switched. Allen started playing out of this world, and you brought up Brian Daboll earlier as a candidate potentially for a head coaching gig. I like that he adjusts. You can tell he, weather is going to be an issue.
this isn't working, this isn't going to get us where we want to go. Let's find the run game. Let's adjust and fix things. And he did that throughout the season. So I went back and just look at what changed from that loss to the Patriots on Monday night and how it went since then. And the difference maker, the key to me, is Devin Singletary. It's finding a guy who can get it done. 5 games since that Monday night game, the Bills are 4-1. Not a coincidence that Singletary's averaged nearly 8 more touches a game than he did over the first 13 weeks. Guys, he doubled his yardage nearly. He has scored 6 touchdowns. And he's been on fire. And I think the team's at its best when it's not putting everything on Josh Allen and his arm, especially when it's frigid out there. So giving him that support, it's like they finally realize that playing in Buffalo in those conditions is probably not going to happen successfully unless we run the ball. And I credit Dable and obviously Singletary for stepping up.
Yeah, for sure.
There's some in the Bills media who, after 3 months of trying to get the run game going, were saying, screw it. Never mind the run game. Let's just go to Josh and have him throw 50, 60 times a game. He's our best player. Never mind. McDermott and Dale's like, no. We're going to do this thing. I promise. And we're like, are you? We've been waiting for this run game.
And I don't know why they weren't. I don't know why they weren't. I don't know what was happening. As always, we like to give love and close the chapter to the fantasy season that was the longest fantasy season ever. So we thought today would be a good time to do that ahead of Super Wild Card Weekend. There were some good moments, some bad moments, some surprising moments. Welcome to the 2021 Fantasy Football Awards. Let's get to our first award, gentlemen, shall we? It goes to a guy who is all about leveling up. It goes to the player who broke out and skyrocketed to the big boy table after being doubted and overlooked before the season using skill, opportunity, and craftiness. This award goes to the biggest leap in 2021. Here are the nominees. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, after going scorched earth down the stretch. Cardinals running back James Conner, 18 touchdowns. 18?
18.
Woo! Raiders receiver Hunter Renfrow.
Raiders.
After his 103 catch season and still going. And Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz, who finishes third at the tight end spot. And the winner is Joe Burrow! Yay! Because he wasn't highly regarded going into drafts, he emerged. He is third in the league in passing yards per game and sixth at the quarterback position overall. And they only got better and better as the season progressed. Because games got bigger, fantasy playoffs, he crushed it. He put up nearly 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns over the final 2 games of the fantasy season, responsible for a ton of fantasy championships this season. And I heard that he bought his offensive line a bunch of watches. So it's very Wams Gams who bought the Patek Philippe.
Yes.
For Logan Roy in season 1. Okay, our next award.
Logan really loved it too.
Yeah, he did. He gave it to a kid who.
Kendall should have bought him the watch this season too.
Kendall got a watch from that girlfriend. Like, what were you thinking buying him a watch?
Wasn't into that.
Our next award is all about the elements of surprise. Someone who broke the video game and showed us things we've never seen before. A player who everyone was talking about, but you kind of had to see it with your own eyes to believe what was actually going on. Someone who thankfully saw way more green lights than red lights. This is the Squid Game Award. And here are the nominees. Falcons offensive weapon, Cordarrelle Patterson. We've got Bucks running back Leonard Fournette, after outscoring guys like Alvin Kamara, Nick Chubb, and Zeke Elliott. Niners receiver Debo Samuel, of course, and Cardinals tight end Zach Ertz, because he really did sort of resurrect his fantasy career in the desert. Any guesses, guys?
Debo!
I think it's the only one who's not in the playoffs. I think it's Cordarrelle.
Debo.
Debo.
The winner is Debo Samuel. Is he a wide receiver? Is he a running back? Is the show about squid? Is it a game show? I had no idea going into it. Oh, shock, horror, it didn't matter. Both took the world by storm. Debo finished 2nd among receivers in total yards and touchdowns, 3rd in PPR scoring, and he did it in a way nobody saw coming. 77 catches, 59 carries. This is one of the most rewarding, surprises that have ever happened in the fantasy season. So congrats to Debo. Our last award for today, we'll do a couple awards tomorrow, is it's a bit of a downer. It's the player who had a bit of a rough go in 2021, whether it was injury or lack of production or crushing you with a goose egg in a big spot. This award is to the player who should be happy that this season is over. This is the Hub article.
Is that Hub?
What's up, Hub?
Just maybe let's leave
he's
this
back.
Year and this year
oh,
and look to
back.
Brighter things in the future. Change of scenery, new year, new you. Yes. Here are the nominees. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, yeah. who struggled before and after the finger injury. Giants running back Saquon Barkley, who just never seemed to be healthy all year. Bears receiver Allen Robinson, just to really Hub arc-ish it in Chicago there. And, I mean, he had four. Do you guys know that? Allen Robinson had 410 yards.
That's crazy. That is insane.
What
I drafted
the last
him.
One. Explain
Didn't
that
he have 1,400 yards with who throwing him the ball when he was in Jacksonville?
Mitch.
Unbelievable. And, Blake. And that, oh, who's this guy?
Disappointment.
Nate Burleson. I mean, he had some serious issues with his fantasy team.
Yeah.
On Nickelodeon Slime Time Weekly. Well documented, by the way. Any guesses on the winner?
It has to be Allen Robinson, right?
Like 410.
You know, right? 410?
410 seems high for me.
But the winner of this award, the Hub Arkish Award, goes to a fantasy bum, Nate Burleson.
Yeah.
Oh, another award for him.
You think via osmosis he'd learn something, pick something up. We have Schrager literally knows the league inside out. You could have helped him. Did we fail him? Where did we go wrong here?
He failed himself. He played in the National Football League.
Now, it's not all bad for Nate, guys. We are going to see him in the booth once again this Sunday for the Cowboys-Niners game. Oh. It's the Nickelodeon Slime Time broadcast, making its triumphant return. So happy that that'll happen for him, and he'll be alongside Noah Eagle once again. Young Dylan will be part of it, too.
Really? That's our guy, Young Dylan.
More Good Morning Football on the way. More awards tomorrow. If you have any award ideas for me, help me out. Mike Tomlin may have missed some of the most exhilarating game of the year. Did he sleep? I'm sorry. What is this story? He slept?
Tell you what, Shiv should have watched her mouth talking to Tom.
I know.
Keep your mouth shut. He's going to turn on you.
But if just given Cousin Greg that one.
NFL playoffs are here. It all kicks off with Super Wild Card Weekend action getting started Saturday doubleheader, Sunday tripleheader. Oh, boy. And then for the first time ever, a Wild Card Monday. 3 days, 6 games, one epic weekend. The road to Super Bowl 56 starts right here, Super Wild Card Weekend. Welcome to a super show here on Good Morning Football. We are in New York. It's a beautiful day. We've got another graphic tee, another day for MJD, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt. Got to talk a little Brady. We haven't talked any Brady today, too. Mm-hmm. It's time for Lee Block.
Lee Block.
Let's
Lee
do it. Block. Let's take a look. There's a full slate of games. NFC side of things of this Super Wild Card Weekend is Sunday Eagles, Tampa, Tom Brady, and the defending champion Bucks, Niners, Cowboys, and Jerry World. Monday night, it's Cardinals, Rams at SoFi. And the reason the NFC side looks the way it does has a lot to do with San Francisco. They came back from that 17-point deficit to the Rams on Sunday, end of regulation. Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy Garops dropped or drove downfield. Didn't drop anything. He hit Juwan Jennings, 14-yard touchdown to force overtime. Ambry Thomas, a rookie, I do believe, right?
Yeah, to Michigan.
Rookie sealing the win by picking off Matthew Stafford and sending San Francisco to the playoffs. And that really ripple affected the entire NFC side of things. So does Jimmy Garoppolo's Week 18 performance impact the Niners' chances in the playoffs? Are you looking at it any different?
Yeah, looking at them completely different. They've got a dog at quarterback. And going into this game, it was Garoppolo's always good when he's healthy and he's available, but he's rarely healthy and available. So it's like, I don't know what to make of this guy. Well, he wasn't healthy. He was playing with an avulsion fracture in his hand, and he played anyway, and he took every snap, and when they needed him most, Jimmy Garoppolo said, let's go. I think it extends beyond this playoff. Like, I'm looking at the 49ers going into Dallas, and I'm like, yeah, I think they can win that game. I think they can win that game because of what they've got going on and because of Jimmy. But then I look at the offseason, and no point in those two starts did I look at Trey Lance and be like, okay, let's go. Let's start the Trey Lance era. I still think he might be a year away. Mm-hmm. And if Jimmy wins this game, and who knows, wins the next game, and then got... If he wins another two games, you're going to tell Jimmy Garoppolo that, hey, you know, we traded a couple draft picks and we got to go with this guy. Like, I don't think it's a slam dunk that Jimmy's days are done in San Francisco.
I wonder how far he has to go. Would a wild card run win in Dallas be like, you're our guy?
It might be enough.
It might be.
It might be enough. He's still young and he's still the guy. when they need him most. He has played well in big moments for this team. And gosh, like, I don't know how far I'm picking the Niners to go, but here we are on Wednesday. I would not be the slightest bit surprised if they beat the Cowboys, who are heavily favored and at home and were the NFC East champions, just because of how well Jimmy Garoppolo is leading this team and how good the rest of the surrounding pieces are.
And it's not just about Jimmy's future in San Francisco. They want to walk away. They want to give it to Trey Lance, fine, but he's playing for his career. Like, this is about the future outside of that. He's putting a demo reel in Jerry World this weekend.
I think the biggest thing that you could take away is when he doesn't turn the ball over, they're undefeated. And then when he turns it over, I think they're 2-6. He turned the ball over against the Rams and still found a way to win. And that, to me, is what's important, that he could bounce back from those turnovers, that they could bounce back from those turnovers. You got to think of this. Okay, if he could throw the ball like he threw against the Rams, which I have to relive this again after yesterday and watching it on Sunday, but it's okay. Their running game is better than it's going to be, than it's been, right? They can run the ball with Elijah Mitchell or Deebo Samuel or Wilson or whoever they want. And now you have to play action pass, which now hurts you, right? Because he's been accurate. He can make these plays. To me, it's a no-brainer that the better he plays, the farther the Niners go. And Kyle, we were talking about you said Raheem Mostert is one of the top running backs that made a run in the playoffs because he rushed for 200 yards in the NFC Championship game, and he only threw the ball 8 times. That's fine. That's not the Jimmy Garoppolo we're seeing now. And I hate to praise the Niners because I have some friends that are Niners, and they're relentless and they're annoying. But I've said this before, and I'll say it here. No one wants to play the San Francisco 49ers in this playoff. Not a team. If you look at what they did with the Packers, if you look at when they play these teams, like, they've beaten up on everybody, and they've been in close games with all these top teams. I don't think anyone wants to play them.
I'm with you, and I just don't think that has anything to do with Jimmy. There's a burden we have here. We really enjoy embracing being positive about players. We also have another burden of trying to say what the fans at home are thinking as they watch. No one's afraid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Peter, I hear what you're saying. I don't think this is a stud. I don't think this is a star. If they have to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo to beat the Cowboys, I think they're screwed.
Yeah.
It's just not what they do. Like, if he's going to have to go back and forth with Dak, I hate that. We love what he did against the Rams and overtime and all that. Like, the only reason they were in that position is because he threw a really bad pick to Ramsey. And that, I mean, like, that was kind of on him. I love Jimmy. He is tough. He is a good citizen, a good teammate, all that. But if it comes down to Jimmy Garoppolo, guys, there's some really good quarterbacks in the NFC, and I don't think that he is their equal. This is going to have to be the Bosa deal and a lot of the Deebo deal. And he has done some things in the postseason. He did beat Kirk Cousins in a playoff game, and he did throw a few passes. Like, that's all part of the Jimmy Garoppolo experience. That's why we're in this conversation to begin with. I like Jimmy as well. My take on Jimmy is that if it comes down to him in the postseason, I think the Niners will probably be exiting because I don't think that they're built for him to be their star. And I think that he is one of the more limited quarterbacks in the entire playoff field. The fear is, well, 14-0 Dallas, first quarter. Jimmy, we can't just hand off. That's the fear. They're not built.
Of the Niners, they get out early, they get in front of it, and they run the ball. And that's what they do. I think the Week 18 performance changed what I saw in this team a little bit because I think they don't need to do that. It was proven that they can be multidimensional, and that makes them more dangerous. So that's how I apply what I saw from Jimmy Garoppolo and that momentum and confidence building, and I apply it to this. But I'm with you. This Cowboys defense, the ball's in the air, and they are so opportunistic. They're going to go grab it. Quinn's going to have them ready. They've got studs. The ball's flying into the hands of Trayvon Diggs. So as much as I like Jimmy, and I think he can do it, Traygs and MJD, I would like to see a little keep away, little TOP action, keep the ball, and don't put it in the air as much. I really would like to see them running it.
But I think it's more of a team. They're a team. It's not Dak and the receivers. It's not Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. It's the San Francisco 49ers as a unit.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary. Right? Because they were down 17 and they clawed their way back running the ball and playing great defense. And that's what's scary. It's not just one guy you have to stop. It's 22 guys on both sides of the ball and special teams making plays. And that's what makes it nervous. That's what makes you nervous about these type of teams when they get in the playoffs.
We've said it all week. We'll say it again. We've got two more days. Like, the chess match between Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn is going to be fascinating because these two men coached together in Atlanta, went to a Super Bowl in Atlanta, came up short in the 28-3 game together. I think they're both viewed as really good X's and O's coach and really good hype guys for their players. I'm curious if Kyle can get Jimmy to say, hey, we got to win this game, and if Jimmy can bring it. I think at some point he's going to have to make a throw.
If Jimmy throws it, Diggs is going to intercept it. That's how I feel.
He might.
Kyle, do you feel that way? I can just see it happen. If he has to throw it a lot, if it is 14, I'm just worried.
When Dak or when Rodgers drops back to pass, you're just like, oh, here we go. When Jimmy is like, you get a little tense. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's not just the Diggs. It's the Parsons thing as a maniac. I hope that it's run left, run right for the Niners this weekend. Put it that way.
Bo. We have some cool news over the past hour, so yeah. I've learned a lot about NFTs. And for the first time ever during the regular season, the NFL began releasing virtual commemorative tickets in the form of NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Well, now that it's playoff time, these NFTs will get released for select fans attending each postseason game, including 49ers Cowboys. So as teams advance, new NFTs will drop. And for Super Wild Card Weekend, the first drop is today at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make it to the game and you want to get one for yourself, well, there are a limited number of NFTs for the Niners and for the Cowboys, and they are available, jot this down, nfl.livenfts.com. nfl.live-nfts.com. All right, NFL game day morning, your pregame home for all Super Wild Card Weekend action. The crew is there both days to get you ready for Saturday's doubleheader and Sunday's tripleheader. Everything you need to know heading into each postseason matchup. We've got expert analysis, predictions, live reports and updates from around the league, all our best reporters and all the biggest places. It's NFL game day morning, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern, live and right here on NFL Network.